me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We can't say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So appreciate your attendance this morning very, very much. Again, there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, it'll have quite a few scriptures and things for your hopefully easiness to follow. So please avail yourself of that if you would like to. Title of the lesson is Remaining Faithful. I might even title this lesson Resources for Faithfulness or a four-point maintenance plan for faithfulness. There's obviously many more things could be said, but we'll dwell on these four for our lesson this morning. It is possible for a Christian to remain faithful. But sometimes people ask, is there anything that can be done to strengthen that possibility so that I can remain faithful? What's the help that's available? So that's what we're drawing our attention to in our lesson this morning. God has given us resources to strengthen our faith if we put them into practice. We see it in life with the resources that help us with different things in life. For example, if you want to ensure the reliability of your car, you keep it maintained. It came with a maintenance manual. You don't know that it's in that glove box. You want to take a look. You're in school and you want to get passing grades. You do the required work. That strengthens that possibility of getting good grades. In marriage, you do things that promote faithfulness to ensure longevity or to keep your love alive. You pull in those things that help strengthen those areas. Well, this morning's lesson, four ways to maintain faithfulness in Christian living. Number one, let God say something to you every day. A couple of verses I'm going to read, I didn't put in your notes, but begin with Romans 10, verse 17. The Bible says, Paul writes, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Sometimes when people say, Brian, I'm lacking a little faith, when they hear the word of God, faith comes by hearing. Sometimes we want faith to come in a miraculous way, or, well, I need my faith strengthened, and, you know, I've tried to do certain things, but no, faith comes by hearing the word of God first and foremost. You study God's word, it's a means by which to remain faithful. It has the capacity to strengthen faith. I put in your notes Psalm 119, and Frederick read it this morning of this part of Psalm 119. And as he mentioned in his introduction, this whole chapter or this whole psalm extols the strengthening virtues of God's word. So we need to take heed to it. And I've listed a couple of those verses that are found throughout the chapter. But I've written a couple more in my notes. Well, here's a sampling. The first one I'll start with is in your notes. Verse 9. So all these are from Psalm 119. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. Verse 11. This one's not in your notes. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 19. A stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. By the way, you'll notice I put it in bold print in your notes. Seven different words that are used to describe God's word. Obviously, there's the word of God, or thy word, or commandments, precepts, testimonies, law, statutes, judgments. Seven different words. Obviously, they have somewhat the same meaning, but within each one of them, there could be a variance or a specific measure of instruction that we need to know. So it's not just God's word, it's law. It's a precept. It's a commandment. It's God's testimony to us. So each word, even though it has similar meaning, there's something specific in giving so many synonymous words to describe God's word. In Psalm 119, verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. One was read to us, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. Psalm 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. And the last one I put in your notes, verse 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. You see, the value of letting God say something to you every day through his word has value, help, and strength. Put in your notes, it was in the scriptures that Jesus met every temptation. No matter what Satan brought before Jesus, he began his answer with, oh, it's written. It's written. Jesus, what gave you the ability to overcome temptation? All knowledge of God's word. Let God's word say something to you every day. Read it. James 4, verse 7. I didn't put that one in your notes. But James 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. And one resistance for us is our knowledge and the use of God's word that will keep us faithful. Someone sometimes said, Brian, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. It's hard to find the time to just sit down and open the pages of the Bible. But yet think for a moment how you let so much of the world speak to you and to me. Through the radio. We listen to the radio. We watch television. Maybe read the newspapers or magazines. You know what, brethren? We find the time to do the things that are most precious to us. Let me say that again. You will find the time to do the things that are most precious to you. I want you to begin to see God's word as something very precious. Very precious. So let God say something to you every day. Number two, take the opposite. Now you say something to God every day. That's prayer, obviously. Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus begins a parable by saying we ought always to pray and not faint or not lose heart. You see, when you pray, it has the ability to strengthen faith that will eliminate you fainting or losing heart, or to be, as I put in your definitions, it will cause you not to be remiss in your duty. You will not be as slothful. You will not grow weary when you pray as you ought. Say something to God every day. See, prayer has a purpose. And one of those purposes, there are many, but one of them is to eliminate the possibility of losing faith. Prayer strengthens faith. So say something to God every day. It's hard to do wrong when you're praying to do right. Put in your notes also another illustration. Paul admonished us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might in Ephesians chapter 6. And he mentions this list of things on how to be strong in the Lord, and specifically putting on the Christian armor from head to toe. By putting on that armor, we're able to stand and withstand all the things the devil throws at us. And then at the very bottom, after he lists all these things to put on, he says, pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. If you supplicate, you're saying, help me, Father. Help me. Just put in your notes the examples of times that Jesus prayed. You have all of these verses, but I'll just mention the context of them. Jesus prayed at his baptism. When Jesus was praying, when he stopped, the disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray. When Jesus was praying, he said, teach us to do that. He prayed before he handed out the loaves to the 5,000, the loaves and the fishes. He spent all night in prayer before he called the 12 disciples to be apostles. When he went up to the mountain to pray, it was the time that he was transfigured. In John chapter 17, there's 26 verses of Jesus' prayer, the Lord's prayer. He offered thanks for the bread and the cup when he instituted his supper. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his disciples to sit here a while, and he went farther in to pray. And he prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them. So all of those are in your notes. Prayer is a powerful resource in keeping ourselves faithful. You ought always to pray. So is there help available to be faithful, to strengthen faith? Sure is. Let God say something to you and say something back to God. Number three, say something for God every day. I put it in two different ways. You can speak for God. Yeah. First of all, is by your manner of life. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2, Paul said, you're our epistle or letter of commendation. Known and read of all men. Oh, people see us, they're watching us. Paul had this attitude in mind when he exhorted the brethren in Philippi. I didn't put this in your notes, but Philippians 1, verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. Let your conduct be as it becomes the gospel. So what we read, we want to match in our life. You know, put them together. So we can say something for God by the way that we live. Jesus said it in Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, and then they glorify God because of what they see in us. We can say something for God by the way that we live. Second, your speech. Of course, Peter and John in Acts 4, verse 29, they were praying, Lord, behold, they're threatening. So look at what's coming at me, God. So prayer, let's talk to God, certainly. And then Peter and John said, grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. So now not only may we stand against the threatenings in our conduct, but now help us use our voice to actually say something for you as we live for you. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed. But you say, oh, Brian, I'm not a preacher. And you don't have to be. You don't have to be a preacher to live for God and say something for God. I put the illustration in your notes. Tomorrow morning, for those of you that work or just have coffee collections or just around town, just seeing family or friends, many times, it happens every Monday morning, how was your weekend? Or what did you do over the weekend? So many times we leave out church attendance. We say, oh, I went to a movie Friday night, or I attended the ball games on Saturday, or I cleaned up around the yard. I just rested. Well, did you attend worship service? Put that in your list. What's so hard about that? You're not waving a flag. Hey, I'm a Christian. Look at me. You're just simply saying, they ask you a simple question. What did you do over the weekend? Why did you not talk about your church attendance, your worship attendance? Don't leave that out. You're not, you know, preaching a lesson like I'm doing for 20 minutes. 25 minutes. Oh, by the way, I attended a worship assembly yesterday morning. One sentence. And maybe they will add, they'll go, oh, where do you attend? Maybe. So many times during the week, just in passing, I've had people, people say, when I leave maybe the counter of something, they'll say, have a blessed day. Or God bless. I'm not offended by that. It just lets me know, oh, there's someone of faith. There's someone religious. God conscious. I'm not insulted by somebody saying, bless you. So in tomorrow, when somebody said, what did you do over the weekend? I pray my brethren will include their attendance this morning. Number four, do something for God every day. How can I do that? What can I do? Well, here's the admonition first in James 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word. Well, then point number one, wasn't that read the word? Have God's word speak to us? Yeah. Well, all right. Well, number four is I want to do something that comes out of that word. Doers of the word, not hearers only. Deluding your own selves. So do what the word exhorts. Do what it commands. In Hebrews 6, verse 9, here's a practical illustration of what can I do? Hebrews 6, verse 9 says, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. And I like that phrase. We're persuaded better things. And then the next one is things that accompany salvation. Well, what goes along with salvation? I want to thank you for my salvation, God. Oh, wait a minute. There's something that accompanies it. It walks hand in hand. I mean, salvation doesn't just stand by itself and I can just kind of now hide out a little bit. Something that accompanies, arm in arm, hand in hand, salvation. Here's the list. Hebrews 6, verse 9. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. I'm glad he didn't give the real specifics. He just said, minister and keep doing it. So you determine what that ministry should look like. Otherwise, we'd see that and say, okay, let me just check that off. I got that done before 9 o'clock in the morning. No, just minister and do minister. In Galatians 6, verse 9, verse says, let's not be weary in well-doing. I can get tired from well-doing, but I don't want to get tired of well-doing. You know the difference. Now, we can stop and take a break. We've been working hard, but don't get tired of working, of doing it. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Wait a minute, that's what we don't want to lose heart. As we have opportunity, and opportunity will come. Open your eyes. It's there. As we have opportunity. Don't go around with blinders on. I don't see any opportunity. Well, open your eyes. As we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. By your estimation, your deed may not be much, but it's important. Every deed. Jesus mentioned just a cup of cold water. Can't get any smaller deed than that. Pardon? Just a cup. close with this article. You've heard it a dozen times, I know, but I'd like to hear it again. Because I want to hear it, I'm going to read it to you. Once I get started, it doesn't have a title, I know who the author is. We'll close with this. That don't ever underestimate the difference your deeds can make to individuals in this world. So don't ever underestimate that. Early one morning, an elderly man walking with a cane went down to the beach. Another gentleman on the beach watched as the elderly man seemed to be surveying the part of the beach left exposed by the receding tide. Every now and then, the elderly man would bend down, pick up something, and toss it into the ocean. The other gentleman finally realized the man was looking for starfish. Every time he saw one lying helpless in the sand, unable to get back to the ocean on his own, he would lovingly pick it up and toss it gently back into the sea. Well, the younger man approached. As he arrived, the elder man explained, "The starfish are left behind after the tide goes out. If they don't get back into the ocean, they'll dry up and die beneath the hot summer sun." Well, the younger man replied, "But there's endless miles of beach. Must be millions of starfish. Surely you don't think you can save them all. What difference can your efforts possibly make?" Slowly, the old man bent over and picked up one starfish. As he tossed it into the ocean, he looked at the young man and said, "It makes a difference to that one. I can't save the millions, but I can help that one. That one." So don't get discouraged. Don't underestimate the value of just throwing one starfish back into the sea. So that's the lesson. Let God say something to you. You say something to God. Say something for God. And do something for God. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. Here this morning, I'm a member of the New Testament church. I've been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. The simple plan or formula, it's on the back of the bulletin. Simple procedure. A logical steps, single them out. Number one, you need to hear the word of God. Hear that God so loved the world, he gave his own son. You need to hear that message. Then you need to believe it, because Paul said in Romans chapter 10, how can you believe in him whom you've not heard? So it's simple, logical. You need to hear, then believe the message. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, "Except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins." Jesus, number three, also said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, "Except you repent, you'll perish." So we add repentance to our list, our formula, our ingredients. Then number four, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. The Ethiopian did that when Philip preached unto him Jesus. And then you'll want to be baptized. When Philip preached to the Ethiopian on Jesus, the Ethiopian responded, "Here's water. Anything hindering or stopping me from being baptized?" The Ethiopian said, "Well, if you believe, you may." He made his confession. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Stop the chariot. They both went down into the water. Philip baptized him. Then when they come up out of the water, Philip is called away to Azotus, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. So that's a simple plan or formula or steps, whatever word you'd like to use to describe that procedure in becoming a Christian, that birth process. So we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you need to respond in a public way, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for. Your desire and resolve is to come forward and let that request be known. Just simply do that. At the close of the song, we'll certainly answer it.
Would y'all please bow with me as we go to our heavenly Father. Father in prayer. Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we're always humbled by your love, your grace, and your mercy for all that you do and that Jesus has done and continues to do, and for the Holy Spirit which guides and directs us if we only allow. We thank you for this morning, for the blessings you've given us by being here, to be strengthened, to be edified, uplifted, ready to go out into the world, not to be affected by the world, but to bring effect, your effect, to the world. We thank you for the countless prayers that you have answered for this congregation, those that you've seen safely through surgeries, trips, all kinds of things that that this world does to try to hinder us. We know you're always there to bring us back and to pick us up and to give us a place to go in the end. We pray that you would be with us this upcoming week. We pray that everyone that can will come back tonight and continue to strengthen this congregation here, and as a result, to strengthen the church as a whole. We pray for those throughout the world that are trying to do the same, that are worshiping, or at least trying to worship, and sometimes being hindered very severely, that you would help each and every soul according to thy will. You know what we need more than we do, and so we rest in knowing that you have our backs, you have our lives, you have our souls. Wouldn't have it any other way. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. Please be with us, guide, guard, direct us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.